Well, I tend to think of the Gosling as a poem. Critical opening phrase of this poem will always be the grip, which the hands unite to form a single unit. Slowly and slowly, the club head is led back, pulled into position, not by the hands, but by the body, which turns away from the target, shifting weight to the right side without shifting balance. Tempo is everything, perfection unattainable. As the body coils now to the top of the swing, there's a slight hesitation, a little nod to the gods. Now the weight begins shifting back to the left, pulled by the powers inside the earth. It's alive, this swing, a living sculpture, and down through contact, always down, striking the ball crisply, with character. There's only one other acceptable theory about how to hit a golf ball.
Oh, boy. Well, what's the other theory?
Grip it and rip it.
This is the Sports Hub Golf Club on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Now, here's Hardy.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you to the Bankroll Boys there on the DraftKings Over Under show. I could have made a fortune this morning. I heard them talking. I was already connected. I'm sitting here prepping. I'm here in the sports and music laboratory, and I heard them say over my headset that I was minus 400. We're going to be in studio, and that was at 7:37. I could have made it in. I could have put a grand on myself and made it in time. But, you know, I still feel bad for taking Joe Murray's money when he made book for me. Will there be an overtime in the Super Bowl a few years ago? That bet finally came in. And lifetime, I'm still on the wrong side of that bet. But in terms of my betting it with Joe Murray, I'm on the plus. So that's all that matters. All right, welcome to the Sports Hub Golf Club. Later on this morning, our old friend Paul Gazbekian, who has been on this program for years. He's a personal trainer. He is the guy that helped me get back on the golf course after I was dealing with a major back issue. Paul's got some good ideas for us this morning in terms of what we can be doing at home if your time at the gym has been limited. So, and he's going to give us a few different levels of what we can do in terms of outfitting our home gyms. You know, you want to do it cheap, you want to do it, you know, okay, or you want to do it right. I also have to ask him about one of the guys who is tearing it up lately, including this weekend at the RBC Heritage in Hilton Head, South Carolina, and that would be one Bryson DeChambeau. But more on him in a moment. Let's check out the leaderboard here. For the second tournament back after the PGA Tour's restart, and at the top of the leaderboard right now is Webb Simpson. You remember Webb Simpson? U.S. Open winner. Webb Simpson, that's his only major victory, and he had some really, really lean years, but he has played better of late, I would say going back to last year, and right now, he's got the sole spot on top of the leaderboard after two rounds there at Harbortown. He shot back-to-back 65s. It's a par 71, the way they have it set up for these guys, and he is at 12 under after two rounds. So, right on his heels, though, Bryson DeChambeau, who went 67-64, he sits at 11 under, and Canadian Corey Connors, also at 11 under par. There are three main stories, for this tournament so far. Number one, the fact that Bryson DeChambeau is there once again, and we'll be talking more about him later on in the show. Number two, there are 20, count them, 20 players within four strokes of the lead right now. So it's shaping up to be an interesting Saturday, moving day on PGA Tour, which is a John Feinstein. I don't think he came up with the phrase moving day, but that's where I first learned about it in his excellent book, A Good Walk Spoiled, many, many years ago. The players have a tendency to move up and down the leaderboard on Saturday. It's moving day. But with 20 players within four strokes of the lead, well, what kind of players are we talking about? Look, there are guys who win periodically throughout the year on the PGA Tour. Unless you are a diehard, you will say who? Or you will say, wow, that's I wouldn't have picked him to win the tournament. But there are some actual names within four strokes of the lead right now after two rounds. Of course, DeChambeau, right on the heels of Webb Simpson. Then you have Brooks Koepka, who is at 9 under par. Ian Poulter, 9 under par. Dustin Johnson at 8 under. Tony Finau, 8 under. Ernie Els, where did you come from, Ernie? 8 under par. So you've got some names and some faces that you'll recognize to go along with a lot of really, really solid, good players that you may not know too much about. Matt Naismith among them. Abraham Anser is another wonderful player. Matthew Fitzpatrick, Ryan Palmer. All these. Ryan Palmer is only two strokes off the lead right now. He could very well end up winning this thing. So we'll have a lot to look for. And if you want to go even further outside that four-stroke target there with those 20 players, there's a lot of guys for us to be looking at. And again, it'll be fun to watch. Danny Lee, who is one of my favorite young players on tour, he's right there at 7 under par. You've also got Sergio Garcia, the guy who seems content just to kind of go out there and rake it around week after he won his one major championship, but still fun to watch. Sergio became a guy I started rooting for just because it looked like he was never going to win. Matt Kuchar, a guy I used to love to root for until I found out that he was a little tight with the winnings there in Mexico. There's a lot to check out this weekend. Jordan Spieth, there's a chance you see him on your television set today and tomorrow. He's at 6 under par. When you get to 6 strokes off the lead at a course like this, where guys have been going out there and shooting a lot of 64s, 65s, 66s, I don't know that 6 strokes off the lead is going to do you anything come the back nine on Sunday. But like I said, there's a chance we'll get a look at them on our TVs today and tomorrow. So that's story number one. Story number two is the fact that the PGA Tour had their first player test positive for coronavirus. This, to me, is fascinating. Nick Watney, who, Tucker Silva, who is the producer here of the Sports Hub Golf Club, I will ask you, Tucker, Nick Watney, the cousin of?
Heidi.
Very good, Tucker. Heidi Watney. You remember Heidi Watney, Red Sox reporter for NESN. Yes, Nick Watney, Heidi's cousin. Tested positive before the second round yesterday. Huh. Well, how did this happen? This is where it gets interesting. He was at the golf course awaiting the results of his test. When I heard this, I figured, oh, well, you know, they show up at the course. They've got some kind of quick test that they give him in the parking lot before they go in. All right. While he was waiting, Brooks Koepka said he was standing near him in the parking lot. And another player, Siwoo Kim, said that he saw him on the driving range. So, oh, he's on the course. He's not just standing in the parking lot. He's there. He's on the driving range. Okay. All right. Rory McIlroy saw Watney before his round. He said he was at a distance, but on the practice green. Okay. Well, okay. So Watney's at the course. All right. So asymptomatic, right? No. Watney said he had symptoms consistent with the virus, consulted with a physician, and after taking a test, was found to be positive, according to a PGA Tour release. What? Nick, what are you doing? It's unclear if Watney had the test at the course or local accommodations, but he had symptoms consistent with the virus, so you know what he did? Drove on over to Harbortown, hit the range, rolled some putts on the practice green, talked to Brooks Koepka in the parking lot. What the hell are you doing? This is where we're going to run into problems with sports returning. If a player who has symptoms consistent with COVID-19 calls their physician, says, I better get a test, and then goes to the venue anyway, that's a problem, Nick. What are you doing? I don't understand this at all. Now, the PGA Tour has been really, really lucky, especially when you compare it to what's been happening with Major League Baseball, the NHL, college football, all the Clemson. I mean, we've got dozens of players in some cases testing positive for the PGA Tour. They've been really lucky. He's the first player. 369 players, caddies, and essential personnel underwent on-site testing before the start of the tournament. No positive results. Great. Last Saturday, 98 people took a test as a condition of taking one of the two charters that flew them to the tournament. Great. 954 total tests without a positive result in the first 2 weeks of the tour's restart. Great. Then Nick Watney, who has symptoms, goes to the golf course anyway. What the hell were you thinking? So for Nick, I'm sure he did. He started texting players. He says he feels really badly. This is what Rory McIlroy said. He feels badly that he was here today at the golf course. McIlroy said, I said, look, it's fine. You never know. So I said to him, if I was in your position, I probably would have been here too. No, you wouldn't. I don't think you. And if you were, the PGA Tour needs to send out another memo as to what the protocol should be. If you are feeling symptomatic, you don't call your doctor, take a test, and then go to the golf course anyway. I don't understand that at all. But, you know, get well soon, Nick. And for everyone else, not just PGA Tour players, but anyone else, if you feel like you've got symptoms, just don't go about your normal business. This should be common sense at this point. Gone are the days where you feel a little fluish and then power through because it's going to, you know, you want to do the right thing for, you know, your job or the family. No. That is not how it works anymore. All right, the third, I would say, major story of this weekend is the continued display of Bryson DeChambeau. And I raised my eyebrows with some of the stuff I read about Bryson in the offseason and heard about and what I'm seeing now. I want to go over it and talk about it because just very quickly, Bryson is the guy, if you are a casual fan, Bryson DeChambeau is the guy who wears the Hogan cap, okay? He's the guy who has the single-length irons. All his irons are the length of a 7-iron, right? He is the mad scientist. He's the guy who takes forever when he plays because he's constantly studying his yardage book and his green book and taking into account not just the wind, but which way the grain of the grass from 200 yards out. He's taking this into consideration before he hits his shot. He's got the very, I'm going to call it a stiff-looking swing. Not a lot of moving parts. Not a lot of hinging in his swing. But he took it upon himself to put on some weight in the offseason. He's a monster, and he's hitting the ball like a monster. I want to talk about this and give you some numbers as to what he's doing out there and what he says he's doing off the course to maintain this shape. We'll talk about that coming up next here on the Sports Hub Golf Club.
If you want to play below par, keep listening. This is the Sports Hub Golf Club on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Welcome back to the Sports Hub Golf Club. Hello, it's Hardy. Your Saturday is off to a good start. We're talking with Paul Gizbecki in here in a few minutes. I want to ask Paul about Bryson DeChambeau, among other things. Paul's a personal trainer who, as long as I've known him, has always been in great shape. He's got very definite ideas about everything from stretching. Oh, my God, is Paul big on the stretching. Pliability, mobility, flexibility. And nutrition, where Bryson DeChambeau apparently is just about putting on weight. And it's working. It's working to this extent. Let me kind of give you the background here quickly. If you don't know who Bryson DeChambeau is, he's, you know, come onto the tour and really, I guess, got a name for himself, A, by being a very, very good player, B, by being a bit of a vanguard, right? Put together this swing. He is a very analytical fellow, you know, with a background in science, and has this swing that's kind of upright looking, not a lot of hinging in it. he's the guy who wears the Hogan cap out there. If you're trying to, you know, put an image to the guy I'm talking about here, he uses all the single length irons, so he doesn't have to, I guess, change his ball position as he's hitting his iron shots. The 9 iron is the same length as the 3 iron, right? And they're all at a 7 iron length for his size. Okay, so he does things a little bit differently. He went ahead last year and said, you know what? I want to hit the ball longer, so I'm going to put on some weight. Well, he's done it by some accounts, adding 40 pounds. 40? Yep, 40. He went from 195 pounds last year to around 235 pounds, he says, and he's not opposed to gaining more weight. How are you doing it, Bryson? He says a lot of it has to do with his diet. He said he eats whatever he wants, whenever he wants. This does not sound like the typical, I'm going to put on some lean muscle in the off season type of plan. Why is he doing it? He figured out that he needs to be bigger to hit the ball farther, and it's working. He is destroying the ball off the tee. Last week at Colonial, the Charles Schwab Challenge, first tournament back for the PGA Tour, you know what he averaged off the tee? 340 yards. He is leading the PGA Tour in driving distance so far this year. These are PGA Tour numbers, not just, oh, God, he was hitting 350. No, PGA Tour numbers. Leading the tour in driving distance at 323.8 yards. It's unbelievable. He says, he's working out more, and that he's, you know, he says it's a lot of muscle, but he also says he's doing it just by eating a ton. Here's his quote. It's a 2-to-1 carb to protein ratio. Now, I've been saying for years, I'm trying to eat more carbs. I say it as a joke. I'm trying to eat more carbs and drink less water. He's doing it. 2-to-1 carb to protein ratio. And I literally just have at it. I eat whatever I want, whenever I want. Obviously, I'm trying to control the intake of sugars, but carbs are fine because I'm obviously sweating like crazy out here. So I just eat as much as I want right now. It's nice. And I don't gain weight. But what? Excuse me? You gained 40 pounds. I actually lose weight. I've lost a little bit of weight this week. He says it's a lot of muscle. People don't believe me when I say it, but you don't understand my work ethic at that point if you're thinking it's not muscle, and I know there's a limit to how much you can gain. Well, I've seen pictures of you, Bryson. It's not all muscle. I'm sure you've gained some muscle, but, dude, you're gaining weight in a lot of senses of the word. But if what he wants to do is just hit the ball further, then it's working. Look, Rory McIlroy has done this too, but he's done it by you know, being a gym rat and by paying attention to his nutrition, being very careful about it. But even he's blown it past Rory McIlroy now. Here's a good example of what he did. Okay, and by the way, he's just playing great all around golf. We'll take his second round as a for instance. Shot a 67, a 4 under par, 67 in the first round. Yesterday he comes out, he starts on the back nine, he starts on number 10. He starts with a bogey, all right? Well, maybe the wheels are going to fall off a little bit. String of pars, a couple of birdies on his first nine. He makes the turn and then tees off on number one. Again, he started on number 10 yesterday. Number one, this is what his scorecard looks like on holes 1 through 9, his second nine of the day. Birdie, birdie, par, birdie, 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 par, birdie. And then on the ninth hole, his final hole of the day, he missed a 5-footer for birdie after he found the bunker with his tee shot. How did he find the bunker with his tee shot, Hardy? I'm glad you asked. 334-yard ninth hole. Okay. He's playing with Webb Simpson, who has the lead right now there at Harbortown. And I didn't know you could do out of all the years I've been playing golf, I didn't know you could do this. Tucker, let me know if you've ever heard of this, all right? On the final hole, DeChambeau had the honors and let Simpson go first so he could figure out what to do. You ever heard of somebody deferring honors on a,
Didn't that happen a few years ago at the Masters Sergio?
I don't ever remember seeing this. Now, look, if you're playing golf, I hope to God you're playing ready golf. This is what I do. This is what I'm sure you do, Tucker. You know, let's keep things moving.
Yeah.
Now, if somebody makes a really nice par or a nice birdie and I make it to the tee box first and we don't have anybody behind us and we're moving along, I will more often than not say it's your tee. You know, you have the honors.
Sure.
You know, it's a sign of respect.
Still your box. Yep.
Frickin' gentleman's game still, okay? Ladies and gentlemen, right? If I'm playing with my wife and she makes par and I've, you know, made my typical double bogey, I'm like, you know what? If you want to go up there and tee off from the forward tees, have at it. No. Okay. But I didn't know you could defer like in tournament play. So he deferred. That's what he did yesterday. Webb Simpson, again, it's a 334-yard hole. Simpson took out a hybrid and put it 220 down the fairway. DeChambeau says, 334. I better hit 3-wood because I'm afraid I'm going to go over the green. Huh? He takes out a 3-wood and puts it into the bunker in front of the green, 309 yards from the tee box.
Good God.
309-yard 3-wood. And almost got it up and down. He put it to 5 feet out of the bunker, but missed the birdie putt. So he parred the final hole, shoots a 30 on his second nine of the day. Good enough to put him one stroke off the lead. So he's playing great. But he has also just put on so much weight, and he is just attacking the ball. His ball speed has gone from 188 up into the lower 90s. And he is just obliterating everyone off the tee. Now, this goes to the whole discussion of drive for show, putt for dough. Yeah. Uh-huh. Not really. And I've done like entire segments on this. I've had people on the show talking about this. I have a book. I don't know if it's right behind me here or not. There's an author that I had on the show a couple of years back who did like the whole, you know, analytics of golf going around, and the drive for show, putt for dough mentality doesn't really hold up. If you can hit the ball that far, and this is what Bryson says, the distance I'm gaining is helping me hit 9 irons and pitching wedges into holes compared to 7 irons and 6 irons. So you can attack the flags. Oh, what if you're in the rough? It doesn't matter. We think it does, but as long as you're keeping the ball in play and you're not blocked out on shots, The analytics show that if you can have a 9 iron or a wedge, even out of the rough, and as long as it's not crazy U.S. Open 6 inches up over your ankles type of rough, if you're that much closer to the hole, you are doing yourself a benefit. It is better to be closer, and even with an imperfect lie, than it is to be 30 yards back and hitting 2 or 3 clubs more into those greens. You know, we love to say, oh, he hits the ball a long way, but what does that really do for his game? Well, it's doing wonders for Bryson DeChambeau's game, and it does wonders for most people's games. If you're longer off the tee, it almost always benefits you. Oh, I don't like it because it puts me in between clubs on my approach. Shut up. You're fine. me? Oh, yes, my perfect approach range. I'd like to be 115 yards so I can hit a full gap wedge. Yeah, I can lay the sod over a gap wedge just as easily as if I'm trying to take a three-quarter swing with a pitching wedge because I only put it to 105 yards. You know, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter for most players. Longer is better, and that's what Bryson DeChambeau is doing by putting on 40 pounds in less than a year. I can't wait to ask Paul about this. Paul Gizbecki, and he's a personal trainer. We're going to talk about a lot of stuff with Paul coming up here in just a couple of minutes here on the Sports Hub Golf Club.
Consider us your radio caddy. The Sports Hub Golf Club on 88.5, The Sports Hub.
Welcome back to the Sports Hub Golf Club. Joining us now on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline, personal trainer Paul Gusbekian, longtime friend of the Sports Hub Golf Club. Paul, how you doing, my friend?
I'm doing good this morning. How you doing? Happy Father's Day weekend.
Happy Father's Day weekend to you too. I don't know if I don't know if I'm gonna be playing any golf. I wonder about these people. It's like, yeah, you're gonna get out and play golf for Father's Day. I'm like, no, I tend to spend Father's Day with my kids. You know, that's kind of what it's all about. I mean, in a perfect world, would if you're being celebrated on a day and you can do whatever you want, might you go out and do something that you want to do? With or without the kid? Yes, but you're supposed to be celebrating the joys of fatherhood on that day, so I do stuff with my kids on Father's Day.
Sounds good. Yeah, I'll be doing about the same thing.
All right. Well, listen, Paul, before we get into what people are doing in this rather unique time, I got to ask you about Bryson DeChambeau. Have you seen what this lunatic has done? He put on the 40 pounds since last fall, and he says he's eating whatever he wants, and he's just, you know, letting it rip. It and in terms of gaining distance off the tee, it's working. But just as a general rule, would you say what he's doing is a good idea?
I mean, I think that's one of kind of the differences of, you know, between some of these guys and the distances that they're getting is that they're adding physical mass, you know, to their frame. And you know, I've had conversations about distance and the kind of importance of strength training, you know, as well as working power and speed. And that's kind of the difference between somebody like Rory McIlroy, who you mentioned, and, you know, kind of the rotation, because he rotates, his hips rotate at about 700 degrees per second, and that's how he's able to get as much distance. I mean, he's just behind Bryson at about just under 320 yards distance. But the difference is between somebody like him and Bryson and even some of the long drive guys is these longer hitting guys just have a lot more mass on their frame. Now, is he eating whatever he wants? I don't know. I find it hard to believe that somebody that is as, you know, kind of mental about the game wouldn't be mental about his nutrition too. So I think he's not paying as much attention to, I mean, he's like a 2-to-1 balance carbs to protein. But I don't think he's eating, you know, pizza and, you know, sugary cereal during the day.
What? Oh, okay. That's you just described my diet pretty much every day. okay, yeah. And here's the other thing. Like, he's out there walking, you know, 18 holes five times a week probably. Doesn't putting 40 pounds on your frame, like, just wreak havoc on your joints, your knees, your back, your hips, all that stuff?
Yeah, but I think that's the thing. He's been working for the last 2 years with the strength and conditioning coach. Used to work for Denver Broncos. He's been in the field for a long time, Greg Roscoff. And, you know, Greg is one of these guys, and a lot of people in the field, that they're paying a lot of attention to the diagnostics that happen. You and I run through it together, you know, these movement screens and all these diagnostic tests. And it's not just to, all right, help me hit the ball farther, you know, but we start looking at the predictability of further pain and future injuries and things like that. And so he's doing what a lot of other guys are doing in golf and in other sports, paying a lot of attention to how the shoulders move and how the spine moves and how the hip moves and the ankles and everything. And that's where he spends a lot of his time, on top of the strength and power and speed development that he's doing.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to get into the whole thing, but I guess it's a little confusing, like, just how adding mass to a guy who's already big, 195 pounds, adding mass can automatically equate to greater clubhead speed. I mean, we can get into a whole physics discussion, which I'd really rather not, but I suppose you get, you know, more weight behind something, the faster you can get your hands through or something. I don't know. I mean, is that what he's doing?
Well, I mean, that's exactly it. I mean, I heard last fall his name start coming up with, you know, he put on about 20 pounds. You could see he's got some girth around around the midsection. But he's been
he's kind of fat. I mean, it's not all muscle. He's got some fat on him.
Well,
his face looks fat.
The and you and I tossed around numbers. Now, these guys are hitting it PGA, 320. They were, clubhead speed 130, ball speed around 180. Now I'm hearing, Bryson's hitting clubhead speed getting towards 140, and he's topping 200. And those are long drive numbers now.
Yeah.
So I think, look, it's a continuous topic in golf and, to strength train, not to strength train, add mass, don't add mass. But if you're adding mass and you're looking at the quality of how the body moves and you're paying a lot of attention to both, I mean, just nothing but good things can happen.
All right. Paul Gizbekian, personal trainer. Paul, people haven't been able to go to the gym, right? And if they're going now, they're not going nearly as much. So if you want to get something set up at home, and you're doing this specifically to keep yourself in good golf shape or to improve your golf shape, what can you do? Let's say you just want to do like a bare bones approach. I just want to get a couple of things to help me out. What do I need at home in order to make that happen? Do you need anything externally other than a place to work out?
No, I mean, you really don't. I mean, you could just use the ground. I mean, the weather's good enough to get outside. I think there's a ton that you could do with body weight, crawling patterns and rolling patterns and all these things that are beneficial and that most of the people that I work with find very challenging. And that's why they prefer lifting the weights, just because, if I ask somebody to crawl on the ground for 2 minutes or, do some pull-ups or just something that involves body weight, they're not going to enjoy it too much. So body weight can really, you can get a lot accomplished with it. But if you're looking for bare bones, under $100, you're looking at, sets of resistance bands, with all the carabiners and anchors and things like that you could hook up to doors and things like that, may cost you $50 or $60. Then you can get a stability ball for, call it $20 or so. There are other small things like foot slides that look like kind of things you slide furniture on that you could do some lower body movements and some core movements. And so those are very inexpensive tools to have.
Okay. And I've done some of this stuff with you when I have my back injury and then, some of the stuff you mentioned, like the crawling around the floor and using your body weight. You're right. It doesn't look like it would be much of a workout, and it is in some ways like frustratingly difficult just doing things with your own body weight as your resistance, but it works. And I think a lot of that stuff works pretty well when it comes to not only helping, build strength and build core strength, but helping out with your mobility, which is, say what you will about it. And, ha, 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 with the TB12 and all that other stuff. It's really, really important for golfers to be able to move your shoulders and hips.
Well, right. I mean, even going back to what we talked about a few minutes ago, if you can't do these things, there's a fair amount of predictability that you will suffer pain and or injury at some point down the road. And that's what's happening to a lot of golfers, is that they're not able to play the game because they can't move.
Right. All right, so if you've got like a medium budget, if you're willing to spend more than $100 on stuff, what would you say? What would you tell people? I want to get set up in a home gym. I'm done going to the gym for a while. What do you need at home?
So I think getting suspension straps, TRX is a good one, reliable one that's been out on the market for a while. That's probably going to be 150 to maybe getting up towards 200. They all offer kind of a band with a pole that you could do presses with and some rotation that gets very golf specific. You can add maybe, a couple of dumbbells. The dumbbells are, going to be pretty heavy. If you order online, you get paid for shipping. So, and that's probably getting up, maybe in the $300 to $400 range. As you start to kind of venture up from there, because, a lot of us don't have 500 square feet for a gym. So you're looking at, I think, really, really good option are adjustable weights. Bow flex, power block, things like that, where you can kind of go anywhere between 5 and 60, 70 pounds with one set of dumbbells, right? That have adjustable knobs or pins that you pull out and adjust with. yep. right? And they make kettlebells. They make kettlebells same way, adjustable.
All right. So, and then if you really want to like go for it, and you really want to get yourself set up at home, are there machines? Would you do like a full free weight set? What would you do? You know, there's so many different options, but we'll keep it golf specific for our purposes here. If you really wanted to have a tricked out home gym, say if you were doing it for yourself, Paul, and money were no object, what would you want in your house?
I mean, I'd still do the adjustable weights, and I would probably save the my investment for things like plates. I'd get like a cage or something I could do squats and deadlifts in, and get plates for that. And then I'd get a lifting platform. And if you know, money was an object, I would also add in some kind of cable pulley machine, dual pulleys, adjustable, so you can adjust it kind of high to low. And that way you're able to get a lot of the pressing, pulling motions and get lower body movements. You know, to start to work on some explosiveness, and you have a lifting platform for noise reduction. You know, but, you know, as far as golf and, you know, machines and things like that, I just don't have a lot of people sitting down on a machine with fixed motion, which is fine. But I'm just not having my people do that. I think that barbells and plates, cable pulley machines, that's where I'd probably spend the money.
What about full-length mirrors, you know, floor to ceiling? I want to do my entire basement in those just so I can look at myself from every angle.
You know, mirrors are a good idea. I think it's good.
Yeah, they are. Hell yeah. Now, okay. Paul, I want what, and I don't want to keep you forever on this Saturday morning, but I do want to ask you. I seem to have one issue right now that plagues me more than anything else. And I seem to be coming up out of my shot and without, you know, like slow-mo video, it's impossible to tell, but you know, you play this game long enough, you can kind of feel certain things. I'm coming up out of my posture either right at or before or after impact. And it's causing me to either A, hit the ball a little thin, or in the other case, if I'm overcorrecting, to catch it a little heavy. So I need, like, what's a good exercise to help keep me in my posture? It feels like maybe it's like that. I don't know if it's core. I don't know if it's legs. What can I do?
Well, I mean, two things come to mind, and it's probably both. It's, you know, but we always start with the same thing. Do you have the joint range of motion through the ankles, the hips, the spine to kind of stay in that position? Because if you don't, well, then your body's going to compensate and you're going to come up out of that position, right? And now it's going to impact, you know, playing path problems with your club and club face.
Which, by the way, real quickly, Paul, I don't know if you watched the Tom Brady, Tiger Woods, Phil Mickelson, Peyton thing.
I did.
Yeah, for as good a player as Tom Brady, you know, allegedly is, and his swing looks, you know, still looks pretty good, and he's you know, he doesn't suck. He didn't certainly play to an 8.1 handicap or index that day, but people who know the golf swing were saying online and afterward, it's like, oh, he's coming out of all those shots. You know, it looked like the reason why he was pushing it or spraying it right was he was coming up out of it. It's right. A common problem even for, you know, better players.
Yeah, I mean, it's something you have to kind of train in there. So two things we work on. I mean, it would be definitely some lower body movements. And like anytime you squat, you deadlift, you lunge, you're going to get both lower body movement and some core in there. So it's developing the glute, hip, deep core, stabilizer, strength to be able to hold these positions. But the other thing you can do is, you know, get you into a golf stance or a split stance, have you freeze your lower body as you do like a cable row or a press, and we're doing some, getting some rotation in there. But when I tell my clients, okay, you're going to do a cable press, but I don't want your lower body to move at all, that helps develop that kind of strength and stability to be able to rotate, you know, while you're maintaining a stable lower body position. And that will translate over to the golf swing.
Okay, I don't know what you're talking about. But, okay, the squats and lunges, I'm not going to do that. But once you said get yourself into a golf stance, Okay, now I'm interested because this sounds like an exercise specific to golf. A cable? What? What do you want me to do?
All right. So let's say you have the budget. And you're gonna go out and you gotta get a set of bands, right? And you're gonna get a medium resistance band, and you're gonna get into either a golf stance, and I want you to row with the resistance band and get some shoulder rotation going, and you gotta call it 12 to 15 repetitions. But as you're doing that, I don't want the hips moving at all. I don't want them twisting at all. I want the lower body frozen still, like your hips lower body is in cement.
And that's going to help me maintain posture, like at impact?
Sure. Yeah, because you're developing the strength and stability, under dynamic conditions, right? As you're rotating. And then, certainly we can do more specific drills with medicine balls and things like that. But that you have to develop the strength, under different conditions to kind of get there as well.
All right. I'm going to have to schedule a session with you again. Oh, all right. But I've done it. Paul, we've done it before. You got me back onto the golf course. I shouldn't treat it like it's torture because it works. So you're posting a lot of this stuff for free on your the golf workout of the day at the Golf Wad on Instagram and other places, right?
I am. Yeah. I'm actually starting up a mobility workshop about 20 minutes every Saturday at 8:15. People can direct message me on Instagram for that, and also doing a bunch of other free videos and things like that I post as well.
Okay, so where can people find you and hook up with you and check this stuff out? What are your platforms?
Well, the Instagram is really the best way on that, at the Golf Wad, WOD. Website, the same thing, thegolfwad.com.
WOD, workout of the day. Paul Gusbekian. Correct. Always good to talk to you, buddy. Let's, at the very least, we'll go play, and then maybe we'll do a session or something. I don't know.
I like that. I like that idea. I haven't seen you in a while.
I know. It'd be good to see you. Okay, thanks, buddy. It was good to talk to you.
Same here.
All right, let's step aside for a second here. We'll come back. We'll wrap up the Sports Hub Golf Club. And then, hey, it's Hardy coming up at 9 o'clock here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
This is the show that helps you put it in the hole. The Sports Hub Golf Club with Hardy on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Now, thanks again to Paul Gusbekian, who joined us a few minutes ago. Paul, who is... trainer at Equinox most of the time, but of course everybody's doing stuff different these days, so you can follow Paul on Instagram at the Golf Wad, WOD, workout of the day. And all right, some good stuff in there. I'm always torn between trying to go find the answers in the dirt, as Ben Hogan used to say. I tried that at the range earlier this week, didn't play at all last week. I played last Sunday, and then I said, I'm just going to go out there and work on the game. And the only thing that I found to be beneficial to me was the short game work that I put in, because just out there on the range, and I'm not being a total knucklehead about it. I'm not just pulling out driver and trying to hit everything as hard as that. I'm trying to work, seven irons, eight irons, trying, groove some kind of a feel. I'm just too scatterbrained. I get something that works for, three swings, some feel, trying to keep the right leg still or something, like that. And I'm like, now, what if I add to that now? I don't know if you do the same thing, but if you're on the range and you're working on something like, okay, this works, all I have to do is remember, lock the right leg, hands through first, smother the ball. But what if I add a little extra shoulder turn? Like, no, you've got something that works. Groove that feel. I can't do it. What I can do for some reason is when I'm doing a little bit of short game work, just chipping some pitch shots, trying to, I'm constantly short siding myself around the greens, trying to work on really, really easy flop shots, not trying to hole out the shot, but literally just clear a little bit of trouble, whether it's a bunker or it's a nasty patch of rough or a collar around the green, just working on those shots for some reason, I am able to find something that works and try and groove that. But when it comes to like full swing work, I really should not be left on my own because nothing good will come of it. I think I'm just going to play. I'm just going to play and let the chips fall where they may. Let's grab the headlines here. We'll do that, and then we'll come back. I want to touch on a couple of big stories that have happened in sports over the last day and a half. But I also want to get to two things that we covered on Zolak and Bertrand earlier this week. One of them has to do with sports memorabilia. And then another very important question for this weekend that I started last night on Twitter regarding movies that you love that other people hate. So we have a busy hour of the Hey, It's Hardy show happening right after the headlines here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.